It's Monday, August 8th, 2011. I'm Ben Bowden, and this is the First Baptist Daily, a daily podcast aimed at the understanding and application of God's Word. Romans 1:16 says that the gospel is the power of God to salvation for those who believe. So in order to be saved, we must believe the gospel. But in order to believe the gospel, we must know it. This week we are tackling a text that explains the gospel very clearly, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Let's walk through the first five verses today together. Starting at verse 1, the Word of God says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." I'll never forget the first time I preached on a street corner. Street preachers always seemed weird to me and honestly a bit scary. Well, this particular day, I became one. I was with my buddy Ben Campbell, and we were walking around downtown Birmingham giving out peanut butter crackers and bottled water to homeless folks and sharing the gospel with them. Pretty soon, a crowd had gathered around, and they wanted to see what we were doing, and they wanted to hear what we were saying. So I looked at Ben, and he gave me a notion as to say, "Well, go ahead, preacher boy." And so, not knowing really what to say, I simply went to this very text that we're dealing with today. And after I finished, I said, "So, based on the Word of God, every one of you are spiritually dead, followers of Satan, controlled by lust, children of wrath. Anybody want a cracker?" Not exactly how you win friends and influence people, right? See, the truth is, we don't like to hear that message. We like to think that we are really good at the core. We've simply made a few little mistakes that God will sweep under the rug. I love what Greg Gilbert says in his book, What is the Gospel? He says this: "Every part of our human existence is corrupted by sin and under its power. Our understanding, our personality, our feelings and emotions, and even our will are all enslaved to sin." So Paul says in Romans 8:7, "The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." What a shocking and frightening statement. So thorough is sin's rule over us, our minds, understanding, and will, that we see God's glory and goodness, and we inevitably turn away from it in disgust. That's who we are. All right. We've got to come to grips with this. We've got to come to grips with our sinfulness up next to a holy God and how this holy God must and will punish our sin, and how the Bible teaches that the final destiny for unrepentant, unbelieving sinners is a place of eternal conscious torment called hell, and how everyone on planet Earth deserves to go there. See, Christ will never become precious to us until we realize how damned we are. It's amazing what happened that day in downtown Birmingham as the crowd of homeless people swallowed this bitter truth. They kept listening. They waited to hear the rest of the story. See, the most thrilling thing in this passage is that it does not end in verse 3, leaving us helpless, hopeless, and in utter ruin. Instead, we have verse 4, where we see two of the most pleasing words in all of Scripture: "But God." See, what these two words say to you and to me and to all who are swept into the family of God is that God's last word is not condemnation. Yes, you were spiritually dead. Yes, you were followers of the prince of the power of the air, who is Satan. Yes, you were controlled by lust. Yes, you were children of wrath. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Paul credits this 180-degree turnaround to the mercy and the love and the grace of God. William Hendrickson, great theologian, says this: mercy pities, grace pardons, but it even does more than that. It saves all the way, delivering men from the greatest woe, everlasting damnation, and bestowing upon them the choicest blessing, everlasting life for soul and body. That's our salvation. We can't earn it, we don't deserve it, but we receive it by faith because Christ has done it all. On the cross, he said, "It is finished." He's completed the work, so we rest in him alone. And in so doing, we magnify Christ in all the earth. I'm Ben Bowden, and I'll meet you again tomorrow on the First Baptist Daily.